Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers on the broadcast today, part two of my interview with Ty Cobb, former special assistant to President Reagan for National Security Affairs. Then Paul Enos joins us with the Power Pundit panel. It's all coming up next on all new Nevada Newsmakers.
Early in the morning or throughout the night, professional truck drivers are on the job, serving you, safely moving freight that's crucial to our economy. From the oldest industries to our newest innovators, from the exotic to the everyday, trucks are everywhere, moving everything. Never afraid to embrace a future that makes Nevada and our nation stronger. Trucking moves America forward.
How do you shed some light on a better economy? Start with growth inspired by Valley Electric Association. We're a member-owned power company that puts Nevada first, and we're doing big things, like providing prosperity by securing renewable energy projects. For Nevada, that means more jobs and more opportunities, all for a strong statewide economy. In other words, together, we're doing powerful things. Visit us at vea.coop to learn more.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shan, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shan.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we're doing part two of our interview with Ty Cobb here, former special advisor to President Reagan for National Security Affairs. Interesting relationship between Donald Trump and Prime Minister Netanyahu of Israel. You also have Sheldon Adelson's influence, who is a major supporter of Israel and a major supporter of Netanyahu. A lot of our listeners may not know that Sheldon Adelson owns the largest free newspaper in Israel with the largest circulation, which is very pro-Netanyahu. And it was interesting to watch Netanyahu on 60 Minutes talking about the new relationship and his friendship with Donald Trump. Share with us what you know about this and your thoughts.
What I think is going to be occurring is much of the friction that has been developed over the past few years between Israel and the United States is really reflected in the deteriorating relationship that President Obama has had with Prime Minister Netanyahu. They clearly don't like each other, and the United States has voiced displeasure over a number of actions that Israel has taken.
Mostly the settlements, right?
Primarily the settlements. And there does not seem to be any slowing down of the Israeli jurisdiction over the settlements area, and the idea that the Palestinians or various other groups would have autonomy or self-rule seems to be no prospect of that occurring. This has caused in the past deep friction with the United States, and Israel, despite its heavy dependency on America for monetary aid and especially military equipment, which is extensive.
Especially Iron Dome, for example.
The system of missile defense is one of the most critical aspects where we have been a major facilitator of assistance to Israel. It's been a two-way street, for sure. But Israel is heavily dependent on that monetary and aid and armaments that we provide. That gives us a certain amount of leverage, but that has not always led to a very close relationship. It was also true of Reagan and Begin and whoever happened to be the prime minister at the time.
It's also interesting to see Israel's place today in the Middle East, where they have, I don't want to say friendships, but positive relationships with countries, for example, like Saudi Arabia.
I'm not sure I would call it a positive relationship.
Well, but it's one that's versus Iran.
Yes. Well, there's the absence of friction with the Sunni states, Jordan, Saudi Arabia, and none of the countries are saying, hey, there's some kind of an understanding or explicit, implicit alliance between them. Absolutely. Right now, Israel is able to not focus much of its attention and defensive strategies against the Sunni Arab states like Saudi Arabia and Jordan, and focus instead on the Shia entities such as Assad in Syria and especially Iran.
As you look at Syria,
yes.
what if any should be the role of the United States beyond what we're doing now?
Just understand, number one, that it's very hard to find a positive role that we can play there. We have this massive humanitarian disaster of civilians being killed, the exodus of refugees throughout the world, who are caught between the atrocious actions conducted by Iran and Syria's Assad, with some help recently from Russia. But then on the other side, the radical Sunni groups such as Al-Qaeda, Al-Nusra, and others are equally irresponsible and vehement. And everybody's caught in between. And then the nearby countries like Turkey are trying to find a role in between that doesn't bring the violence home. And Russia the same way, because if they intervene as they have on behalf of Iran, which is Shia, they have a sizable Muslim population, which is almost entirely Sunni. And that resentment is going to go back and it's going to infect the Muslims in Russia. There is no easy solution here, and anybody that has the idea that all the United States has to do is become more involved and we'll solve the problem is badly mistaken.
And do you get the sense that Donald Trump would want to engage there, or is he much more concerned about doing things here at home?
He's made it very clear that he's a non-interventionist in many ways. He would probably want to work out some kind of a modus vivendi with Russia regarding a number of issues, including Ukraine, but also in the Middle East. The Donald also seems to be prone to making provocative statements, and if he is feeling wounded, that he may order a very harsh action that then will have the United States more deeply involved. We'd have to be very cautious. As much as we would like to get in and kick some you-know-what, take names and rectify this situation, the generals will probably be saying, Mr. President, if you do that, this is the most likely outcome. There is no good, easy solution to be gained by an impromptu military strike.
Do you see any resemblance between Donald Trump and Ronald Reagan in the sense of both coming from an outsider perspective, although, of course, Reagan was governor of California,
yeah.
But the ability to communicate was so strong in both of these gentlemen?
I'm not sure I would. Yes, Reagan did have prior political experience being two-term governor of California. He headed up a labor union, the Screen Actors Guild. He is both a Democrat and a Republican, was very active. Trump really doesn't have that extensive involvement in politics and the to and fro. Reagan came in with a few things that he really wanted to accomplish, and he focused on those things. I wish I could say that I see that in Mr. Trump, that he has like three major priorities and this is what he is going to step in and do. But Reagan, even if we would have had the ability of time, was not the individual that would be up at 3 a.m. sending out tweets without really thinking through the ramifications.
But one of the things that Reagan did was he appealed directly to the United States public,
right,
to get the Congress to bend to his will. And Donald Trump is using social media,
right,
to keep his base fired up.
Yeah, I think Reagan was the great communicator, and he was able to deliver addresses that many of my friends like Peggy Noonan wrote so well and assisted him. And that was very effective. Donald Trump's 3 a.m. in the morning tweets, yes, have fired up the base, but I don't know that they are effective in bringing a larger swath of the population over to his viewpoints. In fact, the polls we've seen is that his support, even among his base, has kind of lessened.
All right, let's take a break. More with Ty Cobb when we come back.
Sully's Sports Bar inside the Tamarack Junction is South Reno's headquarters for locals to watch all your favorite sports. And now you can enjoy your favorite team on our brand new high-def TVs featuring the Papa, the big daddy of them all. It's our giant 17-foot big screen TV wall. And we have two 79-inch high-def TVs, 12 65-inch high-def TVs, including two party booths for your own private party, and six high-def private booth TVs. Bring in your own headphones and listen to your favorite game right from your own seat. First, make your bets in our William Hill Sportsbook, then enjoy your favorite cold beer, libations, burgers, wings, pizza, and our signature build-your-own Bloody Mary bar. Then settle in and download our app and listen to any game being shown in Sully's Sports Bar. Catch your favorite team on our new high-def big-screen TVs. Sully's Sports Bar is the only place to watch your favorite sports all year long. The Tamarack Junction, just north of the Summit Mall in South Virginia.
It's Tamarack Junction, your junction for fun.
St. Ives Florist, for every holiday and every special occasion. For romance. Custom home design. We have the largest selection of fresh flowers in northern Nevada. And we also offer a large selection of unique gift items. Come see me, Lori Ann, at St. Ives Florist, 700 South Wells Avenue, or call me at 333-9190.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Ty Cobb, former special advisor to President Reagan for National Security Affairs. President-elect Trump is talking about Air Force One and the cost of the new version that will actually come into service when he is leaving either right. office or running for a second term. Is this just bluster? Because this is a command center. This is not just a plane. This is not a Donald Mobile.
Yes, but I think Trump has done well on the Air Force One and the F-35 issues, because he's saying, okay, we need to have a good Air Force One that's very well protected against cyber as well as a military attack. But I can't, rather than just accepting and say, well, it may cost $20 billion, he's saying, I really think that this is not warranted, that the cost of this plane, they're just laying out the money and then Congress and the president approve. He's saying, I don't think it should cost that much. And now the manufacturers are backing it down. Boeing and others are saying, well, we'll have to, yeah, we're going to rethink that. The F-35 strike fighter is a program in great trouble. It's a multi-mission aircraft, and maybe they're trying to assign too many capabilities to it. And the cost overruns on that from the projections are so enormous that the buy has gone down from a few hundred. You know, you're wondering if we're going to be able to afford to buy 40 or 50. So he's jawing Lockheed Martin there and saying, I really don't understand what happened here. You committed to this price, and now it's like four times that. I think this he's looking pretty good on this one, Sam.
But the other side of that coin is that every state has military operations in there, which was very cleverly done over the decades.
Yeah,
so you've got a big fight with Congress about jobs.
Well, they don't call it the F-35 for any reason. There's 35 states, I think. and they all have jobs in those states, so nobody wants the program to go away. But I think the idea of reining in the outrageous costs of the strike fighter, the F-35, Trump's hit a nerve there, and that'll help him.
China. They just stole our drone. Trump said, don't bother giving it back. It may have been a smarter expression than most people would think, just because of their ability to go in and perhaps put something on there that would get them into our systems.
Well, I don't think he was that thoughtful. He was just saying, okay, you got our drone, and be prepared for retaliatory action. Don't think by inspecting it for 3 days and maybe implanting something that we're going to just say, oh, that was fine, don't worry about it. It was an unprecedented and fairly hostile act on the part of China, as is their island building. There clearly will be a confrontation brewing both military and economic with China in the first few weeks of the Trump administration. Mark my word.
Really, because it doesn't seem that that would be a positive thing for China. I mean, I understand what they're doing in the South China Sea, trying to reclaim as much as they, or claim or reclaim as much as they can. But do they really want to fight with the United States when there's so much going backward and forward between these two countries?
If I were China, I would say the South China Sea is our home territory, we feel, regardless of what international law is, and we are going to exercise what we believe is rightful authority there. With respect to economics, President-elect Trump, they would probably say, you want to impose trade restrictions on us and tariffs on our products going to you? Let's see, what's the extent of the debt that you owe us, and you only survive the United States because we, China, continue to buy your debt. Maybe on January 21st, China says, you know, we're going to take a pause in purchasing American debt.
But haven't they been selling quite a bit of debt over the last couple of years?
And Japan and other countries are becoming more important, but China still has ownership of a massive amount of our debt. If for some reason they would decide not to purchase it, the economic impact in the United States would be very severe. But it could be on China, too.
Ty Cobb, two shows, and we still have so much more to talk about. Come back soon. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Sam.
Hi, my name's Marilyn Miner, and I'm sure you'd agree that Nevada's a very special place to live. I was born here, and my husband and I have raised our family here. I feel it's a privilege to live and work in the Truckee Meadows. I especially enjoy helping my clients reach their real estate goals. Sometimes the smallest details provide the greatest satisfaction. I'd be complimented to talk to you about your next move.
Call Marilyn Miner at Dixon Realty, 742-1280, or log on to marilynminer.com.
The signs and symptoms of cataracts can start out small with subtle changes in your vision. So don't wait. Be proactive and take your vision into your own hands. If you're experiencing the onset of cataracts or just have questions, contact your eye care professional or call Eye Care Associates of Nevada today. Dr. Hiss has years of experience specializing in the surgical correction of eye disorders and has completed over 84,000 vision-correcting procedures. At Eye Care Associates of Nevada, we'll change the way you look at the world.
And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shad.
Welcome back to Nevada Newsmakers. We are here with Andy McKay, who is the executive director of the Nevada Franchise Auto Dealers and also a sportsman. Andy's on the board of the Nevada Bighorns Unlimited. And Andy, I want to talk to you about a decision that was made yesterday, or an attorney general's opinion that came out yesterday over question one, which provided for private party background checks. What are your feelings on our attorney general's opinion on this issue?
Personally, I loved it. I voted against the ballot initiative. And when you look at the analysis predicated on the letter that the FBI sent Department of Public Safety, I think it was a sound legal analysis. Ignore what the outcome of the ballot initiative was. There's a structural infirmity with this thing, and it's how do you pay for it from the feds aspect, and I was glad that he looked at it. I personally think the ballot initiative would have done nothing to prevent crime other than burden legal gun owners such as myself and you, Paul, with a bunch of owners requirements.
Well, and let's talk about that, because I mean, you know, there's, you know, from a sportsman's perspective, you know, you can exchange guns if you're on a range or if you're actually out hunting. But I know a lot of times, you know, hey, you want to give somebody a shotgun, you know, they want a 12 gauge instead of a 10 gauge. And, you know, it's something that happens, you know, definitely, you know, not just among family, but among good, close friends that are also sportsmen. So it does create, you're absolutely right, it does create that burden. And it will be interesting to see what the legislature tries to do, if there's any attempt to address this issue, because we do have a constitutional provision that says, hey, if something passed by initiative, it cannot be changed by the legislature for 3 years. So, you know, unfortunately, you know, I guess when Michael Bloomberg or whoever wrote this initiative, it was so flawed, didn't really contemplate Nevada law and how these background checks were going to be done. Yeah, I think the AG had no other choice than to make the decision he did.
I agree with you. And you're absolutely right. You know, there's the provision on 3 years. That was the danger if you go back to when there was the proposal to repeal the commerce tax. And then if that didn't obviously succeed, it's locked in stone for 3 years.
Actually, that's a referendum. That would have been locked in forever until there's another vote of the people.
Yeah, that's true. You're right on that, Paul. I was mistaken. That being said, does the legislature try to, in order to carry out the effect of the ballot initiative, do they then allocate funding that would then go to the feds to pay for it if they interact directly with the feds? Well, the problem is Nevada is one of those states where when you purchase a gun from a federally licensed firearm dealer, either at a Shields or Cabela's or at a gun show, that's facilitated by the criminal repository. So I think you're going to have to completely change the way transactions in the state of Nevada are done in order to potentially carry out the provisions of this ballot initiative, which is important to note, barely passed by what, approximately 9,000 votes.
Yeah.
Less than 1%. So, would if it does have to go in front of the voters again, would they even approve it? I would actually argue probably not.
No, I would agree with you, especially, in an off year election when, typically you have fewer people that show up in those midterm years, even though we have, a senator on the ballot, a governor on the ballot. You don't get nearly as many people in those midterm elections as you do in a presidential year. And I think that was part of the calculus on the folks that were trying to get this done. What do you think the leadership in the legislature is? Do you think there's going to be an attempt to try to do something to address this?
I think that they're going to look at it. They're going to attempt something. How hard do they try on it is anybody's guess. The reality of the situation is, Paul, is look at the comments yesterday by Minority Leader Roberson on the Senate end. I think him and the Republican caucus are and perhaps the independent are going to take a hard line against doing any action. And don't make any mistake. I mean, there are a lot of Democrats that are not in favor of this initiative and who have been assaulted, for lack of a better term, by Anytown. And the Bloomberg gun lobby, to the point where they were significant resources were spent on them a cycle before last. And I don't believe those individuals are going to do anything to try to attempt to help the anti-gun lobby.
No, and I think, a lot of those people are back. They're not necessarily happy with how things went down in terms of being challenged in primaries. And, it's tough to be a Second Amendment Democrat. And, to me, that's unfortunate for somebody who, I have a CCW. I firmly believe in the Second Amendment. I believe that gives an individual the right to bear arms. And you do look at some of these restrictions that they put on. I mean, reading the Attorney General's opinion, it would have been impossible for the state of Nevada, as the FBI had stated, to carry out the provisions of the law.
Correct. Yeah, absolutely. And to your point, as a proud native Nevadan, I'm still shocked that something like that would occur. And to the point, going back to what you commented in terms of loaning a gun during hunting, that happens amongst myself and friends frequently. So that I'm a criminal as a result of this ballot initiative? That's ludicrous.
Well, hey, we'll see how this plays out. But, I think you and I personally, we give kudos to our AG and
certainly,
I guess, the FBI as well. All right, Andy McKay, hey, thank you for coming on. Appreciate
Thanks, Paul.
It. All right, we are going to be right back on Nevada Newsmakers.
Nearly 200,000 Nevadans work in retail businesses, supporting families and the community. Nevada's retail businesses generated over $2 billion in sales tax revenue in 1 year, including nearly $700 million to help our schools. Shop around and see all that Nevada's retailers offer our state.
We're the Retail Association of Nevada, representing thousands of Nevada businesses.
Businesses that work for Nevada.
Your business workers' comp company should be your partner. The Pro Group customer care team brings you effective risk management training, support, and web tools at no extra cost to you. We maximize the safety of your employees and business every day. Pro Group is with you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, with information and resources at your fingertips. We ensure your employees' safety and that your premium's in line. When you're a Pro Group member, you have the team that's looking out for you. Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you. Call for a no-obligation quote today.
As always, you can watch or listen to Nevada Newsmakers 24 hours a day at NevadaNewsmakers.com. You can also download podcasts of the show free of charge from iTunes. We'll see you on the next broadcast. Thanks for watching and listening.